Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening here on Blog Talk Radio, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Welcome to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum and peace be unto you. Welcome to tonight's live discussion on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message, which he delivered this past Sunday, October the 21st, as part 2 to his historic message at the Holy Day of Atonement in Charlotte, North Carolina, October 14th, 2012, on the 17th anniversary of the Million Man March. And it is such a profound time in history that we are living in, with the confluence of the fulfillment of prophecy, where we have reached the time that black people, the descendants of slaves in America, have completed our sojourn. And everything that is happening around us is indicative of the reality that we have to have an independent state or territory of our own. And so tonight we want you, the listener, to call in and join us. Area code 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. You can join us on the discussion, and if you want to listen to the program via internet, you can do that by logging in www.blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. www.blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. You can also obtain any copies of my lectures, books, at avaspeaks.com. That's avaspeaks.com. Now, tonight, I'm going to be joined, of course, by our powerful agricultural economist, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. But before we go any further in the program, and again, this is a live discussion on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message, and we want to hear from you on that message as well as the upcoming presidential election and all the things that are manifesting as we move nearer to November 6th. But before we get started, we have a special treat for our listeners. Tonight we are joined by a young lady who is multi-talented, and she is representative of the type of young woman that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan constantly implore us to make and shape and mold, because we know that nothing could be more true than the doctrine taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that a nation can rise no higher than its woman. And if you have been following the Sunday webcast, and if you listened and watched this past Sunday, as we heard from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, this young lady is a student in the ministry, and she also attends Muhammad University of Islam. And her name is Kenya Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Kenya.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava.
Oh, welcome,
beloved.
Thank
you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. And, you know, you are such a wonderful example of the up-and-coming generation. And you're very blessed, and I know you're aware of that, because you are the generation that really stands poised to receive all of the blessings that Allah has been waiting for so long to give to our people for their great suffering and sacrifice. And
yes,
I have found you to be, you're very insightful, you're very humble. If you
praise
can just,
you,
oh, yes, ma'am, forever and ever. But two things I'd like you to do, and we're not going to keep you on the phone long because you are a student in high school, and I know you have things to do this evening, and above all, get your rest. But
yes,
number one, if you could share with the listeners just a little bit, tell them what grade you're in at MUI and what your goal is at this point. I know it could possibly change, but what your thoughts are about your future. And then if you could just give us a little insight into what you saw and heard from Minister Farrakhan on Sunday.
Yes, ma'am. Well, as you mentioned, my name is Kenya Muhammad. I am a junior at Muhammad University of Islam, which is a wonderful institution, by the way. I am actually looking to major in journalism when I get to college. But and I have a strong passion for public speaking, which I know will be a big part of my life. I'm still trying to pinpoint exactly what I would like to be when I grow up, but I know whatever it is, it will be beneficial. I will make sure that it will be beneficial to myself and to my nation. So,
yes, ma'am.
So speaking on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's Holy Day of Atonement Lecture Part 2, something that really stuck out to me was when he was speaking on truth. You know, Minister Farrakhan says real leadership has to deal with truth. Real leadership must be courageous enough to tell the truth. Real leadership must spend its life seeking the truth, then have the courage to tell the truth regardless of the consequences. And that's what really stuck out to me, because that's what makes one, regardless to the other qualities, that's what makes one a real and a true leader. That is what makes the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan such a true leader, not because he's black or anything like that, but because of his determination to give the truth to us regardless of the consequences. You know, and he was also speaking, he also said that truth is what God ordains for every human being to possess in order to give the life that the Creator gave us to in order to live the life that the Creator gave us to find, explore, and exploit the gifts that he gave us, and to put those gifts into service for self, family, community, nation, and world. And so, you know, if truth is not found at the center of us, of our youth, of the gifts and the talents that Allah has given us, then we aren't truly or responsibly using those gifts.
Well, that is exceedingly powerful. And I hope that the listeners are inspired to hear such a young person demonstrate such profound wisdom. You know, it's important that we hear from you and your generation what your view is of proper leadership and good leadership. And, of course, as you were speaking, I was thinking the minister said in the study guides that the brain is created to think right.
Rightly, yes, ma'am.
Yes, and I really thank Allah not only for you but for your mother, your parents, your family. You have a beautiful family, and it's so important, brothers and sisters who are listening and who will be speaking later on this discussion, that we give our young people as much support as we possibly can. And Sister Kenya is a rare diamond in our midst. And Sister Kenya, you have the voice. You have the natural ability to speak, and I have no doubt in my mind that you will do as you have given your commitment to do, and that is something special for us as a nation. So,
praise be to Allah.
Forever and ever. So thank you, beloved, for coming on, and thank your mom for me for allowing you to.
It was my pleasure. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. And inshallah, in the near future, we're having a special program focused around women and girls, and we'll have a roundtable discussion. And if you're available, I'd love for you to come back and join that discussion.
Oh, it will be my pleasure.
All right,
yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome. Walaikum salam.
Brothers and sisters, that was Sister Student Minister Kenya Muhammad. And as you heard, we've got a lot of work to do to make sure that our youth don't face any impediments to the development of their creativity. Now, also joining us tonight, and I want to get him in on the conversation, and I want to invite all of you to participate on this live discussion of both the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message and also the events that are unfolding around us in America. This is an absolutely, I think as the scripture described it, great and dreadful time. But I want to welcome to the microphone agricultural economist, our beloved brother, who's also a head of the Ministry of Agriculture for the Nation of Islam, Dr. Rizvi Muhammad, and he is also an Elevated Places contributor. And we're so happy and grateful that he gives his time to us because his plate is absolutely full. But Dr. Ridgely, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
How are
Dr.
you feeling?
Ava and the sister spoke so, how can I say it, so calmly, so confidently, and with the intent not to impress, but she was impressive. She spoke with
well
the
said.
Intent to communicate.
Yeah.
And that is a sign of a true leader that wants to communicate. Not to try to, you know, impress, but to communicate because she wants people to learn from what she's saying. So she is already a teacher at her young age, but I'm not really surprised. I just
right.
wish more of our young people will step forward to the plate and be their natural self, which is a leader for the next world.
Well, that is exactly right. And, you know, when I listen to her, I'm reading a book right now that people will hear me begin to teach out of shortly, and I'll probably stay with it for quite some time. The title of the book, and I want to get the author on Elevated Places, title of the book is called The Warmth of Other Suns, S-U-N-S.
Yes.
And it is an epic story of the great migration of black people between the years 1915 all the way to 1970, wherein we fled the torture and terrorism of the South. And, you know, when I hear about immigration and immigration policy, there was a migration within the borders of the United States that was monumental.
Yes.
And this author, I don't have the book in front of me, but I'm gonna talk about her more in coming programs. I definitely want to get her on the show, but she does a fantastic job of telling the story. It's almost, Dr. Ridgely, like a novel because she selects three different families and tells the. She gives the historical account, but she weaves it into a narrative of these real-life people. And the drama in the lives of these black people is absolutely mind-boggling. And as I listen to Sister Kenya, and I mean, you know, the Nation of Islam Research Department and the phenomenal work they've done on the secret relation between blacks and Jews, this work is such a wonderful sequel to their work because it continues to expose the depth of the suffering that we don't, we hear, oh, we picked cotton.
Right.
And we have no idea. You know, because you're a man of the land. You're a farmer.
Yes.
We probably need to have a whole show on, I mean, I'm the purity of agriculture and farming, because if people
yes.
understood what picking cotton, what the reality of that is,
yes,
and not think it's like picking flowers,
yes,
you know, and what it does to a person to have to fill up a bag, 100 pounds for a woman, 400 pounds for a man per day.
Yes.
And you're talking about this feathery, fluffy little thing that you got to reach through thorns and everything else to get through
right.
it. And it hardly weighs anything. So
right.
the scientists calculate you have to actually reach in and out 7,000 times in a day.
Mm.
To reach 100 pounds. And for what? For you?
No.
For your white slave master. You're a sharecropper now, but just you, the, Jim Crow was so much worse than
well,
slavery.
You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, he talked about that in his book, Message to Black Man, where he talked about our condition in slavery, but then he says that the last 100 years
Come on.
After slavery, that we've had the worst treatment of any humans in the history of the world.
Yes.
Well, he talks
yes.
about what happened to us after slavery, and to me, that's important for two reasons. Number one, we don't suffer from post, you know, slavery syndrome. We suffer from the continual battering, cheating, lying to, beating, killing, torturing, terrorizing of right up to this present day. So we can't get it balanced in anything because they come at us. And we know this. This is why when we talk about we want to separate and have a land of our own, what black folks will tell you, if we go out somewhere by ourselves, you know what they can do? They're coming in and bomb us. You know? So
yeah.
we know that we are in a terrible situation and continually afraid. So if and in this process, when we came out of slavery, we love the land. We bought 16 million acres in that 45-year period. We love the land, but it's been after slavery, during this sharecropping, this Jim Crow, and these other games
right.
that have been playing with us that made us now. I was just with some young people at the Boys and Girls Club showing them how to transplant some broccoli and some cabbage in the little garden back there. And you know, in some these children, you know, in elementary school, didn't know the food comes from the ground. No matter one child said, I can't eat food that comes from the ground. It's like nature be all over it. I just can't eat that. I got to eat, you know, stuff from the stove.
So unimaginable.
We have been divorced from the land.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick 60-second break. And we've got people lined up to join the discussion. You're speaking with Ava Muhammad and Dr. Rizvi Muhammad. This is Elevated Places Live on blogtalkradio.com, 347-324-5091. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the latest presidential bait, which was an absolute smackdown, and we're going to start talking about the content of the message delivered by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan the last two Sundays. So we will be right back. Welcome back to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad. I am joined tonight in a very exciting discussion on the message delivered by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the presidential election that is taking place. The first black president of the United States is seeking a second term. By the way, he was here in Chicago this afternoon. I was late getting home because he was right here in Hyde Park, came here to vote.
Okay.
And he wanted to demonstrate, he really did that. He's the first president in U.S. history to vote early. And he did that to demonstrate to our people the importance of them taking part in this, because you dealt with Dr. Rizzi, Jim Crow, and post-slavery horrors. Of course, one of the persistent efforts of white America has been the disenfranchisement of black people. They don't want us to have any part whatsoever in choosing leadership in America. So we're gonna be talking about all of that tonight. I'm gonna go to the line. Sister Amira is on, and that looks like North Carolina. She has a comment on the Holy Day of Atonement. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Amira.
With all due respect, Sister Ava, wa alaikum salam, dear Queen. Did look forward to seeing you in Charlotte at the Holy Day of Atonement. I'd like to say, if you don't mind, with all due respect, I do believe that I'd like to address the issue for Mr. Farrakhan talked about in terms of nation. I mean, you, Sister Kenya talked about black leadership. Is that correct? I mean, proper leadership.
Yes, proper leadership, good leadership. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just wanted to equate, based on my studying the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad for more than 35 years, it's based on the true knowledge of self and the ancient spirituality of black supremacy. I have to say, Sister Ava, I am very disappointed. I have to say this in terms of saying that, Sister Ava, Mr. Farrakhan mentioned a revision of his book, Torchlight for America. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
As a believer and as a sister, I do want to say that I am very in favor of Muhammad Speaks and what the Muslim children want. And so I'm confused in terms of his leadership because I'm understanding that, you know, it's about separation, as you just talked about separation, but that he's going to take the whole country. I'm confused, and I have to say that in terms of being a sister. I want to conclude by saying to Dr. Rizvi, with all due respect, sir, you mentioned that we don't need that's about PTSD being understated. In fact, I'm wrong. I beg your pardon. But I want to say to you, in terms of people, we have never properly ever addressed the concept of debriefing our people and the restoration, which our people seem to be ashamed of reparation because that's a badge of honor that we can carry for our ancestors. And I'm confused, Sister Ava. I'm just going to say that in conclusion. I hope you don't beat me up too bad, but I want you to think about...
Oh, no, ma'am.
Listen to me, the voting and the hypocrisy of this electoral college, it's all a game, Sister Ava. So I'm just saying, I don't know what I'm saying anymore, but I hope they were out of play. And I'm going to say this before I close this. 40,000 signatures of Charlotte was given to Mr. Farrakhan while he was here, and I'm disappointed that there was no mention of these people wrote enough to say they support what the Muslims want in terms of 25 years of tax exemption. So with that, Sister Ava, I saw a lot to forgive if I said anything wrong, but I hate to share my heart with you. If you want me to release the line, I will. I thank you, and I pray everything's all right.
Yes, ma'am, and I hope you'll listen to the rest of the show. Once we hang up, stay on and listen. And I appreciate your forthrightness and your honesty in expressing your concerns. And Dr. Richard, did you want to begin? Because I was able to extract certain things.
Well, you go ahead on, sister.
Well,
I'll come back.
Okay. Let me just start with Torchlight for America. And please understand, beloved, that, and I appreciate you saying you feel confused because I think that's what it is. What we have to understand is that Islam is more than a religion. It's a way of life. And as one of our great scholars, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, has said, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are not just religious doctrine. This is a body of knowledge. there is absolutely nothing inconsistent between Torchlight and Message to the Black Man. Minister Farrakhan has never, he has fought vehemently against those who wanted to see us remove the Muslim program.
That's right.
From the back of the final call. What the Muslims want, what the Muslims believe. This is a synopsis of the goals of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which he set forth in 1965 in response to a series of questions from both whites and blacks. The Muslim program actually comes out of his answers to the questions, what is it that the Muslims want? What is it that the Muslims believe? And he put those things on the back of the final call, and at that time it was Muhammad Speaks.
That's right.
It remained on that newspaper until his departure, and when Minister Farrakhan stood up and resurrected and uplifted the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and brought back the Nation of Islam as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad envisioned it and set it up, he restored the Muslim program to the Final Call newspaper, and that was and is and remains our agenda.
That's right.
Now, Minister Farrakhan, as the national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, stands in the position of being a divinely guided leader and teacher of our people. And so it is incumbent upon him to respond to prevailing conditions. We have the first black president in U.S. history sitting in office right now. And as a man of God who carries within him the will of God in real time, it was actually incumbent upon Minister Louis Farrakhan on October the 14th to provide divine guidance, not political guidance, but divinely rooted guidance to President Barack Obama. And at the same time, when Minister Farrakhan gave that, he made it clear that Savior's Day 2013, he will present the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam have never, ever deviated from Message to the Black Man. But you have to be able to employ your reasoning powers not to allow yourself to view progress as deviation. And that sometimes becomes a trial for us. And so never think that a Torchlight for America, which Minister Farrakhan said clearly on the 14th, we as black people have a duty, a responsibility, and a right to give guidance to America because, number one, we live here and the decisions that are made affect us, and number two, we built this country.
That's right. That's right.
And so a Torchlight for America is not a gift to white folks, even though they could benefit from it if they could see past the pathology of racism to accept divine guidance. But regardless of that, we as black people need for America to be corrected because we live in it. So as it's falling, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote in Fall of America, America is falling, but unless and until we separate, it's going to fall on our heads. And if you pay careful attention to what Minister Farrakhan is saying and what he is doing, he has already initiated the first steps toward the actual exodus.
That's right, Sister. I'd like to add this. As well, Mr. Farrakhan, he has told the Muslims to read Torchlight for America also because a lot of that is not talking about America, but it's talking about the Nation of Islam.
Nation of Islam, yes, sir.
That he's showing where we are falling short or where we need to be. So in him admonishing America, he's also talking to us because we are supposed to be a nation of Islam and not just a church. And on the other point, on the other issue is where Islam comes after everything fails. And unfortunately, we as black people still believe in white folk because we think that they are smarter than we are. So it's important for us to see a product of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad deal with the very issues of those who we think are smarter than us to show us that they aren't that smart, that we have a better solution, which if they would follow, it would help them. Many of the things that Minister Farrakhan talked about this past Sunday are issues that neither of the candidates would touch.
That's right.
They didn't touch about 9-1-1 and the fallacy of that because that was an inside job. They wouldn't deal with the Federal Reserve, which is the reason why we have this tremendous debt. And they wouldn't tell you about the depleted uranium and why people around the world hate America because of her poisoning the air, the food, the water, and causing people to have birth defects in their children. And now we're sitting in this country suffering from the hatred of others because of what this country is doing, and nobody will speak the truth except the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So he is showing us a clear choice in terms of, now, who are you going to follow, them or someone who's rightly and divinely guided by the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? And then you, my dear brothers and sisters, you study and become guided by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farah Muhammad, and you will be able to not only lead yourself, but be an example for the rest of the world to follow.
Yes, sir. And you know, on the point of separation, and I think I mentioned it, I may have mentioned it last week on the program, but it can't be overemphasized enough. Minister Farrakhan gave us a new and fresh look and understanding of separation.
Mm-hmm.
When he stepped out on October the 14th and spoke to America's leadership and said, this country belongs to us, possessive pronoun, it is ours because we built it, and we are entitled to be involved in its direction, and also we are entitled to a portion of it. You know,
that's right.
The messenger said, in what the Muslims want, he talked about a separate state or territory. And what did he say? He said here or elsewhere.
That's right.
Here or elsewhere. And we seem to have focused on the elsewhere.
Come on.
Rather than the here. And we forget that in a separation, if you look at a marriage and a couple that unfortunately are preparing for a divorce, when it comes time to separate, somebody leaves, but what? Somebody stays.
That's right.
And so he said to America, we don't have to go anywhere. We are entitled to be here. And if you remember, he shared with us on Sunday that some white man sent him an email telling him to go back to Africa. And so we have no one else speaking for us to push back on the ignorant and imbalanced thinking of white people. And Dr. Ridgely, you and I were talking about that today, how racism is an affliction of the brain and the mind. And after so many generations of it, it begins to actually lower the IQ. And so now you have a white population in America. Now, Chris Matthews, who is a white man, he hosts a show called Hardball on MSNBC. He has been sounding the alarm for quite some time, even when people like Al Sharpton won't say it. And Chris Matthews keeps saying nobody wants to face the reality that underlying the polls that show Mitt Romney as potentially taking this race, at the root of that is hatred of President Obama for one reason. He's a black man.
That's right.
And Chris Matthews said, you have white people in this country who are so ill, they're so afflicted with racism, they would rather sit down across the table from their child and tell that child, you can't go to college because there's no money. They would rather do that than to have a black man in the Oval Office. And so in the absence of leadership that will tell us the truth about the nature of these people, we are lost. And that is what Minister Farrakhan is doing for us, and he's a gift to us from Allah in this important time in history.
Yes.
But we've got Sister Barbara on the line, and she has a comment. Sister Barbara, welcome back to Elevated Places. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam. Thank you so much, Sister Ava, for this forum. It's a wonderful forum for the believers.
Yes,
you had mentioned a book that you were reading, and I called to recommend to you a book which I have read, which is written by Douglas A. Blackman, and the name of the book is Slavery by Another Name. And And the subtitle is The Enslavement of Black People from the Civil War to World War II. And in it, he used an interesting, there's an interesting reference referring to this book where he says, they say this is a groundbreaking book, historical book, exploring the shameful chapter of American history of an age of neo-slavery, N-E-O, that took place after the Civil War and through until World War II. So a lot of this, to me, is such a wonderful book because it's historical, and he has all the historical reference and everything in this book. And as far as the other discussion you were having about Minister Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, I have been every year I re-listen to the Theology of Time.
And
because if you really want to know whether or not Minister Farrakhan is off track, you listen to that to see that he's on track. if you listen to September the 3rd and September the 10th of the Theology of Time, Minister Farrakhan is teaching the Theology of Time in this modern time. And you can hear every subject matter he takes. The message is stated in there. He said, we are always teaching the Theology of Time. And that's exactly what Minister Farrakhan is, Minister Farrakhan is doing. He's teaching the Theology of Time in his way. And every day, everything he teaches is the Theology of Time. If you listen to messages, you will hear that, and you can feel that, and you'll be thankful that our brother is so obedient to his father. And I can say that he's obedient because I was blessed as a young woman, a college student, to be in the audience when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called Minister Farrakhan from behind the sycamore tree and set him in his seat and told us to listen to him, look at him, listen to him, go where he says go, and stay from where he says stand from. And I was blessed with an opportunity to tell Minister Farrakhan that I heard that, and I'm very thankful to be in the Nation of Islam under the direction and leadership of the most obedient of his students, the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Well said. And, you know, you just made me remember, Sister Barbara, I heard the minister say, and it has been relatively recently, if we take into account so many people who claim to be followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and question the commitment and dedication and loyalty of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, they themselves are not following the messenger's instructions, which you just gave us, repeated to us. You know, he told us to look at him, to listen to him, to go where he says go, stay away from where he says stay away from. He did not instruct us to analyze what he's doing. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in his foresight and vision, knew that there were numerous combinations of circumstances that could come up. We're in need of leadership because we're not capable of self-guidance. And so the way to save our lives is not to put on us the burden of analysis, because we lack the ability to analyze as a result of the illness that we suffer, which is black inferiority. And so he told us to do the essential things that we need to do to survive this terrible time, and that is to follow Minister Farrakhan's leadership. So I really thank you for your comments, Sister Barbara.
Can I make a comment?
Of course.
You know, one of the things that inspired the research group to put together Defending Farrakhan is that, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan really has embodied the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he brings it out in so many ways. And when we hear him, we have to go back and study the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to find out where we missed, because a lot of times what we thought we heard, when you go back and read the messenger's words after you hear Minister Farrakhan, do you realize that you just didn't get it when you read it, and now you need to read it again, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was so far ahead of us then, and it still is now. So the Minister Farrakhan said we have to parse the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad over and over again, and then digest it, and then bring it to our people in a form that they can understand it. Because do you notice how short his articles are, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
Yes, sir.
2 and 3 pages to get my point across, where he can get his point across in a half a page. Okay? So we have to study the minister and then go back and study the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. A lot of times I read Message to Black Men. I read Fall of America. Yeah, you need to go back and read it again.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah, because you're reading universal principles and universal laws, as you just said, out of which now, in this time, entire volumes of work are coming.
That's right.
Out of one basic truth that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught. And every time Minister Farrakhan stands on the rostrum, here's a man who is a head of state, a world leader, one of the most recognized names on earth, and how does he introduce himself? I am a student. Of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
That's right.
He never fails to say it. So thank you again, Sister Barbara. We have Brother Ivan on, and he wants to comment on Minister Farrakhan's lecture. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ivan.
Wa alaikum salam. How you doing, Sister Ava?
Good. And yourself?
I can't, man. I'm going to tell you something. I'm so ecstatic and just happy to be alive among the living and be living in this day and time. You know, I think about the in the book of Nehemiah 9:27, when he talked about he sent them saviors to deliver their people. And just to be recognized as us being one of those saviors, I'm just thankful to Allah to be in that number to try to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan try to deliver the black man and black woman in North America. But I want to talk about his lecture. I remember, you remember in 1999, I was still in prison at the time, but the lecture that he did called the Apologia, when he gave the explanation of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farah Muhammad, and I've studied many of the minister's lectures, but I don't remember a time before that he ever did an Apologia before the turn of the century. And me and the brothers were talking about that the other day, how the minister has been doing it in sections, because, you know, he started in 1999, right at the turn of the century, and he doesn't do anything by happenstance.
Come on.
For him to do what he did, save his day, 1999, right before the turn of the century, and then I look at when he came right behind that 3 years later, and I'm talking about how he's been dealing with the believers. 3 years later, he came, showed us his, he revealed it, what, in 2002, he revealed his domestic life to the laborers, and then 2003, he revealed it to the whole nation, and then the world.
Yeah.
Came back in 2006 with the deliberative dialogue, I'm just looking at how he does this, and then in 2009, going into 2010, he came with the Dianetics. And so I'm looking at y'all talking about the theology of time. This here's a man, if you don't pay attention to what he's doing, you will and are going to be left behind.
That's right. That's right.
And so I'm just looking at it. I don't know. I've been looking at this stuff, and then when you to see him do what he did in Charlotte, and then this past, man, you know, I was just like, man. And see, one thing about it, I'll say one thing I love about the way you teach, Sister Ava, is you really have the ability to charge a black man and make him really do what he's supposed to do. But it's come from, you come from because you're doing your best. I see you following the minister and the black man himself. Of course, the sisters have their job to do, but the brothers, man, we gotta step it up, man, because the minister's putting pressure on us.
Yes.
The what he's saying, we're going to be the ones that's bringing this new world order in. If we don't get it together, he's going to put the sisters out in front of us. Maybe. But
wow.
I just want to say that I thought about that. Those are the things I was thinking about when I heard you all talking. And that is the theology of time. He is laying out his theology of time right before our eyes.
Well, that chronology is phenomenal. That you just put in front of us, and we need that. That's why I love this show. That's what I love about it, is we have so much brilliance among us. And, Brother Ivan, you just brought it all. I mean, you know, this man is so profound. I just love the phrase light-giving sun from the Quran, because, and you just have to be careful in the sun, because you can get blinded.
Right.
You can benefit from it, or you can be blinded by it. And the man is so extraordinary and phenomenal that we get lost because we don't know our proper place as students of the student, and so we start to get confused.
Mm-hmm.
I love what you just said. I mean, he's rolling this out. There is a pattern and a science to what he's doing. He doesn't just pop up. They're like a jack-in-the-box.
Right.
Right. And another thing, I'd like to say that, you know, whenever I hear the minister speak and I bear witness to him, I can really understand what he just said, but I can never know what he's going to say.
Right.
In other words, you know, it's not for us to be ahead of the minister, because he is also dealing with the enemy. And so...
Right.
Because we don't understand a move that he's made, just sit back and study and follow instructions and study, you'll find out later on what he meant and why he did what he did. I did this lecture one time on evaluating Minister Farrakhan as a general because he does things so strategically on time, and he does such a good job. He takes care of problems that are coming to us and blocks them before we even feel the bullet or even hear the sound or even see the flash. He's already fixed it, and sometimes we just take that for granted and think that he ain't done his job and don't know. He just blocks something, you know, because he's just far ahead of us and that far ahead of the enemy. All praise is due to Allah for him being that far ahead of both me and the enemy.
Well, thank you,
ma'am.
Brother Ivan, so much for that insight.
Yes.
We really love you and appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am.
All
likewise.
Right. Assalamu alaikum.
Dr.
Ridgely, we've got Councilman Bones Addison on the line.
Okay.
And I'd like you to segue into his call, because I think this is something important for the listeners to know about what's going on in Louisiana in the wake of Minister Farrakhan's visit. That was the Southern University?
Yes.
In Baton Rouge. To give us a little insight as you bring in the councilman, because I think we need to hear from him.
Yes. Bones Addison presented a plaque of appreciation and the keys to the city of Baton Rouge when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was in Baton Rouge at Southern. But since that time, there's a political race for the mayor. And the minister mentioned how well he was treated by the mayor and the police force in Baton Rouge. But now the opponent to the mayor is putting out a lot of negative campaigning, advertising against the mayor because he treated the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan with respect. And, you know, what we must understand is that when the minister moves, the enemy can't come at him. But what they do a lot is try to come at his supporters. So I think Brother Bones wants to, Councilman Bones Addison wants to bring us up to date about the struggle that's going on there in Baton Rouge.
All right. Councilman Bones, are you with us?
I most certainly am, Dr. Ava. How are you this afternoon?
I'm wonderful, and I first want to just thank you for taking time out of what I know has to be an overwhelming schedule and taking time to inform us of what is happening in Louisiana.
Well, I want to first of all say I certainly appreciate the messages and the information that is being disseminated through these airways by way of your program and the teaching of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan across this nation. I'm very much an adamant follower and listener and hopefully doer of what his messages are all about. And that is empowering our people. That is making sure that we are accountable for both our actions and actions upon others. And promoting positiveness across the entire country, society, and the world. So I wanted to put that on the record for everybody that I'm very elated to be a part and participate in any positive discussions that may be going on with regards to our community and regards to the Nation of Islam and what services it renders to our people.
He did set the
tone very well and the premise as to what is going on. And again, I want to say as a public official in Louisiana that we are greatly appreciative to Minister Farrakhan for coming and sharing with us and for those in the Baton Rouge public who also appreciated and was well attended, the gathering to which he spoke involved some very enlightening and encouraging words. The information that is now being out there, it actually started the day after the minister had departed our city. We were getting calls from the radio stations from my office because they wanted to know, who presented a certificate or who presented keys or any proclamations or whatever to the minister. And I did receive a call and then a text, and I said very boldly and proudly, and called one of the stations and said, no question that I did it. In fact, I was on the stage, sat through the entire event, enjoyed every minute of it, and, of course, believe in what he teaches and believe in what he stands for. So I had no apologies. They left me alone. I mean, they did not call me back anymore. I kind of quickly dissipated all of that, hoopla about what happened, how it happened, and what took place. Eventually someone extracted some of the words that Minister Farrakhan accolades that he had bestowed upon the mayor president and the police officers who had come to New Orleans to an escort service and provide him with some level of protection. I also stated to people, since all this is broken, Minister Farrakhan or the Nation of Islam leaders or leaders around this country, although we would welcome all sorts of support as public officials are given and securities that they are duly necessary in this time that we live in, I'm sure he has his own travel team, his own security details, and so on and so forth, So while there may be some rumblings out as to what has happened in that regard and why did we use police protection and police services and escort services and all that, I quickly said I didn't think that was a necessary request and what might have been requested by the nation. But it has come out very clearly that the mayor made statements and comments that he had nothing to do with, the involvement of visits with Minister Farrakhan and that the statements that have been put out by his opponent, are inflammatory, racist, and everything else. He called a press conference. But in some instances, the press conference was more to deny any relationships or involvement with Minister Farrakhan, and including saying that he did not participate in any of that. And the chief of police ultimately said it was his decision to have the officers go to New Orleans and all of that. So while it might be disingenuous of his opponent to make such comments and remarks and statements, I also find that it's also offensive by which the mayor president to then either deny or whatever goodwill that was extended to shut away the fact. So while you might, I can't fault or praise what his opponent has done, but I certainly say to him, I would weigh. Welcome the idea. In fact, spoke to some of his people today and said to them very clearly that I wholeheartedly stand behind and asked them because one of the persons in our community said this kind of tone sets back our community 20 years in race relations and I said, well, you know, I don't disagree if you think this harms our race relations in our parish or in our state. That I can very well help all of us with that because we can then invite the minister back, invite other leaders back of African-American descent, and we can all meet down at the Baton Rouge River Center, and everybody can come and sing Kumbaya and hold hands together and show how much they are in tune and in line with
it.
Trying to bridge the gaps and the divides and to do it that way because if we're willing to say that this is an ugly kind of gesture, then what are you going to do in order to say, look, not only do we welcome, we embrace, we support, we don't have a problem with, you know, but I know it's a political race. Folks say things and do things that they think benefit their own political positions. And whether the opponent of the mayor president did it, of course, it was obviously to inflame or get more conservative white voters to vote for him. There's no question about that. You know, I understand him doing that in that way to say, look what I'm doing. I say that that's ugly. I say that is not the way any one of us should be using the remarks, the visits, or whatever of any person to our parish system. And I've been on it. I told him this, yesterday that I'm willing to go on the airways to talk about, you know, the way I think we should be treating any official or any dignitary that visits our parish system. But I also said, not to be funny or facetious with anybody, if that's what we think we want to do, I would not only ask Minister Farquhar to come back so we can meet in a better public place and everybody can have a chance to sit down and dialogue, but I also maybe bring Reverend Jackson and also bring Reverend Al Sharpton down. Let's really have ourselves a meeting of the minds. Of everybody, and I think they stopped texting me, they stopped calling me. I think he lost his mind. He lost his mind. So again, you know, I wanted to call and say that because I want to express publicly and express to you guys that we welcome. I appreciate. I think the dialogue is very healthy for what Minister Louis Farquhar exposed to all of us around this country and all of us in our individual cities. So as a public official, again, I would not want anyone within the nation or anyone within the Baton Rouge public to take this level of dialogue in a negative and make the positive a negative because it was very positive what he gave and it's very positive what he talks about around this country and around our city. So I did express that to Louis earlier that I did want to talk.
Sir.
I did want to have a chance to have questions asked for me and any questions that you might have, Dr. Ava, and I'll wait and listen for it, what it is you want to respond to.
Well, I don't have a question as much as I have a comment that I find it so profound that on the very night that we had earlier in the show, a young high school student who spoke from the perspective of Minister Farrakhan's recent message about good leadership and defining good leadership as that which is moved and speaks on behalf of truth. And so for you to take this position and yet do it in such a professional and elegant manner, I think represents the future of real black leadership, because we need it more than ever before as we begin to move out on economic self-sufficiency and independence. So Brother Rizzi may have some, Dr. Rizzi may have some questions, and you are welcome to remain on the line as we bring other callers on. But I am grateful for your posture and your insight and your willingness to stand on it.
Well,
I usually stand on what
I believe, and Dr. Ridgely, I'll certainly take any comments, and I'm going to hold on the line. I'll stay as long as you all are here, and if anything, any calls
awesome.
Or whatever, I think that's really important. I appreciate it.
All righty.
Yeah, brother, well, I'd like to say this. I just like to thank you for being a man, being a leader, and giving him the key and backing it up and standing your grounds. And like you said, bring them all in. Let's have a big round table. But like you see, when you put the light on, the roaches flee.
No question. I mean, look, even if both parties want to come, both of y'all come to the table, you know what I'm saying? So one don't have to say, oh, I didn't authorize it, and the other don't have to say, I'm going to criticize him because the remarks were made positive about him having, or if whoever had the escort of the officers or whomever. I mean, I said again, you know, if the police chief say I did it, you know, and it was an extended courtesy by question or by request of the state police or whomever, then I say, oh, well, that's great. You know, I'm not questioning who did it, who didn't do it. I'm not, you know, whether or not my concern ultimately came back was, you know, we had a press conference, and the mayor to have a press conference. And even my wife thought that was a little strange. You know, you're going to have a press conference, but, you know, something that someone else said. Now, also,
yeah.
I was laughing with someone, and I said, and I don't mean to be ugly either, I said to someone, you know, I have a skit kind of in my mind that a man says, hey, Martha, you know, here they go again, picking on a little bit of Kip. You know, so he says, it's Farrakhan this time. You know, the last time it was another event that they picked on him. Wow, they should leave our good guy Kip alone. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, not to be facetious of any of our leaders, you know, but we elected the public service to not only represent our own views, but views of others, a broad spectrum of views, and we respect the values and views of others, okay?
That's right.
And that must be something that we talk about, this republic democracy, but if we're not going to live with that, you know, and for many, many years in this country, one man, one vote was not protected and is not well protected today. The idea that free
That's
and
right.
equal was not protected is not very well protected today. So we can put a face on something. We can talk about the idea of send me your tide, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. And then we take hundreds of millions of people and we put them on certain parts of the community, certain parts of this country, and we treat them as if they're second, third, and fourth class citizens in this current nation. You know, so while we may have the slogans and the pitches and all of those great things there, if we don't have the actions to back up the rhetoric, then they just captions and slogans on statues and on buildings and in some places in the Constitution of this country. You know, because
That's
why? Right. We're not putting the value and the work behind making those realities for all people, whether it's people of color, whether it's people of Caucasian race, whether it's people of other ethnicities. If we don't put the action behind it, all of the stuff that we say that are protected in our Constitution but not enforced within our constitutional government, then they are really just a lot of rhetoric on pages that don't come themselves to light and to action. So again, you know, when I made the comments and the statements that if we want to have a roundtable, I'm sure
yeah.
there are national leaders of African-American descent who would happen to bring very private dialogue to those tables. But when we come to those tables, there are men and women who are at those tables and come to those tables, and they're going to have a demand for action. You know, so you don't invite some people to tables because that demand for action is going to be so strong. You know, it's going to say to you, now you can't play with me. You know, you're not going to have me sitting up here just so you can get a photo op. You know, you're not going to have me sitting up here so you can just say we talked to him or talk
exactly.
to him. Okay, you're going to be called to action if I come to this table. And whether that is diversity within our government ranks, whether that is talking about how we do proper security of communities, whether that is talking about how people of color are being treated with regards to environmental injustices, you know, someone is going to challenge even this government on that, you know, and you all are very familiar and had a lot of dialogue on the Temple shooting that was here in Baton Rouge with the police officer and all of that, saying a young man from Southern University was killed and we asked for just a general investigation to make sure that his rights were not violated. You know, we were faced with such fierce opposition till everyone came to another conclusion than the so-called investigative authorities, you know, that it was just a cover-up. Okay,
exactly.
And so all I'm saying is that, you know, when we call leaders who seem to have some level of commitment and integrity, it's easy to dismiss that, because then we can keep going and doing our same actions. We can keep doing the same things we do. And the final thing that I'm going to say, and be quiet here, is what I love the most about Minister Louis Farrakhan. That he, in his messages, he, in his action, hold us all accountable. It is not just an issue of us making sure that people who may be called, whatever rhetoric they may say we use, your enemy or the person who is an adversary of yours, but he also checks the family. He also checks the black man. He also says right. to you, you must be accountable first if you're going to be a leader. But we dismiss that. You know, we wait to hear, well, what he's going to say about the other guy. You know, what did he say about us? I mean, when he called for 1 million African-American men to come to Washington and be accountable, then we overlook that. The nation wants to overlook that. They want to say, but he said something bad about this guy. Well, he said something bad about one, but he sent in front of 2 to 3, 4 million and said, you got to be accountable. You got to go back to your city. You got to do this. So you dismiss that. You know, you dismiss that call for putting down your arm among the Crips and the Blood in California, and calls for some peace reconciliation among men and young men, that has to take value when you talk about creating environments where people can have healthy living and create an environment where you can grow your own crops and do your own thing and feed your family well. You know, well, you know, that's no different than our First Lady saying families first and healthy eating. You know, well, what's the difference there? You know, not to take away from Michelle Obama or anybody else, but that sounds like the same message to me of healthy living and having people to eat a diet that creates for them a more healthier and more a more robust person. You know, and then deal with the whole man. Deal with all aspects, your spiritual guidance, your natural guidance, your economic guidance. You know, so again, you know, I can get on my preaching soapbox as well, but I say that because at the end of the day, as a community leader, I am committed first to my God, my people, and then, of course, to my family, myself. I have that kind of a deity that says that if I have the connective to my God first, I don't lose focus on why I'm here. Right. And then I can talk about that with the whole semblance of mankind. And then I can go back to my immediate family, my wife, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, you know, and remembering all that. And then, of course, if I keep myself in that posture and say, okay, you know, now, and if I can treat everybody else well, and then I'm going to be willing to treat myself well, you know, but if I'm not willing to treat others and or myself, then I'm not going to be a whole lot of good for any positive outcome, whether I touch one person or 100 persons' lives that I encounter. So again, you know, I appreciate it to have an opportunity just to be on it and just express my position on the show with regards to the whole issue that's been coming for our parish system.
Thank you, sir. And we actually, our next caller, we have a lot of callers lined up, and we're down to about 20 minutes. And so we're gonna get as many as we can, but we got Brother Joseph, and he's got a question and a comment. And we're talking about a number of things, including the Day of Atonement, the presidential debate series, those things that are on your minds. And, of course, we are joined by Councilman Bones Adderson, and you can join us at 347-324-5091. Brother Joseph, welcome to Elevated Places.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. This is Brother Joseph Muhammad out of Baton Rouge. Brother Bones, I'm right here in Scottsdale, brother. Right here by
all
you.
All right.
Yes, sir. Right here by you, brother. And I was listening to all that this morning as well, what they were saying, you know, about the escort, about all this and that. there's a bunch of madness, brother. But I appreciate you, Brother Bone, for coming in and speaking and having the heart, brother, and having that mind to say, hey, you ain't going to get away with this. I'm going to come on, regardless if you like me or not. So, Brother Bone, I appreciate you, brother. And so, David, you and the host, I thank you all. Dr. Wrigley, all the rest of the hosts, I thank Allah for all of you all. And I thank Allah for being in this nation at this time. If I never know, never want to be in this nation, this is the time to be in this nation of Islam. Yes, ma'am. But, yes, ma'am, I want to talk about the Day of Atonement. I was listening to it, and our beloved minister, he just came with every answer that we had, if we had any question about what the Day of Atonement means. He just laid it out, and I had to revamp and re-go back in my studies, because when I was at the Million Man March in 1995, really that's when I came in the nation, and it was a blessing for me to go. And the 8 steps of atonement that he laid out was the key to what he just did too with the restricted laws. And by being the 8 step of atonement and finally 8 step of atonement is all success with the laws of Islam and with the book that he put out for us, it was a blessing too. And I just want to say that it's just been a blessing to be here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We've been having a lot of things going on down here, but I see we got a lot of our brothers and sisters who's in the consummateship, who's in leadership around here with Ulysses and the rest of them. I see now a lot of eyes is being opened up. A lot of hearts is being pulled out because they tired of seeing and hearing this lies. That's all what always been, a bunch of lies on not just the minister, but on black folk here and everywhere else. Especially
precisely.
Brother Bone, I want to thank you again, brother. And I'm going to be here, brother. You call me. We're going to be on this line. But brother, I'm going to come see you. And I want to talk. We're going to get together with the brother and sister here. And we're all going to put this thing together, brother.
Thank you very much. Look forward to it.
And thank you for the call, Brother Joseph. And, you know, really, it's we have to understand, and I think we are moving in that direction. We have to begin to understand when we're confronted by people about our relationship with the minister or challenged about showing him due respect, about listening to him. It's not about what he says, as Councilman Bones Addison, you're pointing out. It's not about what he says. It's about our right to hear who we wish and to challenge a person or an entity and say, look, who are you? And what have you brought to facilitate my reality that you have the audacity to take preeminence in my life and tell me who I should listen to and who I should respect? And that really is the essence of this concept of white superiority and black inferiority, where we persist in this need to explain ourselves.
Well,
to those who are bringing nothing to our table. It goes against the law of nature, and we have to stop it.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. Good point.
Now, we got, let's see, who did I have? Who was next in line? We just did Joseph. We've got Yusef on the line. He's got a comment. He's been on for quite a while. Welcome to Elevated Places.
And thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And thank you so much. I'm very grateful to be here on the program. Thank you, Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad, and to the Nation of Islam. I actually wanted to emphasize something that was very important that I've noticed and many of my brothers and my people have noticed, is that the emphasis on agriculture and the tour that the Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan has gone out,
yeah,
talking about, you know, reclaiming the land, you know, the connection with the land. And this is so important, and it was crazy because I think it was the speech that the Brother Minister gave at Southern University was like on the night that I think it was the presidential debate, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true, the first one.
Yeah, the same night, yeah. And we were, you know, me and my people were like, yo, we're gonna tune into Farrakhan versus the debate. You know, we're going to tune into him.
Yeah,
you know? So that's what we were talking about. But at any rate, the importance of the connection of, and the Minister Louis Farrakhan is so right on time with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's program. He's right and exact, all wise, right and exact, about connecting
with
the land, program, resources with the land, ownership, farming. This is so important nowadays, and I don't have to go into detail about the manufacturing of food and, you know, the you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
This is so important right now, and to, for people to, black people in general, to take ownership of the land and farm and create their own community. See, I'm Caucasian. I'm a Caucasian brother. My name is Youssef. I'm Caucasian, and I have knowledge of self through Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Father Allah, which is the 5%, Allah's 5%, Nation of Gods and Earth, and it's peace from here. But the same direction, it applies, the direction applies to any and all members of the human family.
Exactly.
The human family, but most importantly, the ownership and of the land and creating ownership of the land and purchasing land and farming and gaining knowledge of how to use the resources for the land. That's the most important thing right now because y'all know what it is. And my brother, he lives in Miami, and he'll tell you too. When the lights cut off, when the gas stations closes, and the bank closes, and the grocery store closes, the water company closes,
yes,
then what are you going to do? It's all closed because
that's the reality.
Mm-hmm. Because him devil owns it. Him devil controls it. Him devil owns it. So create the ownership. And pardon me for anything else. I said peace to the nation. I love y'all. One love.
Love you back.
All
thank
right,
you so
much. Peace to the God.
You know, of course, you know, Ms. Ava, I can talk to you in 2 hours and 55 minutes on land and farming, right?
Yes, sir.
So, I won't do that, but I will say I think Brother Yusuf has hit the hammer on the nail. You know, we left the South. We had 16 million acres of land by 1910, but because of oppression, we were pushed out of the South, and they offered us better opportunities and jobs up North. But now that those jobs are no longer there, I don't know why we're staying up there in that cold. I'm sure that we don't like the Winter Olympics that much to continue to stay there without a job. Now, if you got a nice, fat-paying job, okay. But look, let's get back to where it's warm at, where there's some land at, where we can grow our food and not be so fat at. So, you know, like I said, I can talk for 2.5 hours on that. So thank you very much, Brother Yusuf, for bringing us to the leadership of the direction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that's working to save our lives and to turn the world around from destruction. Thank you so much.
And yeah, ultimate reality, land. Because I know you teach us as well as the messenger minister, as long as you have some land, you can grow yourself some food.
That's right.
You can build yourself some shelter.
Yes.
But without land, and we tend to be in, you know, entrepreneurs, and on the end of things, we're renting from people, leasing from people, using the services of people. And if they make a decision to cut it off in the twinkling of an eye, we're done.
That's
it. Done. But we're down to...
Rows of a highway around all the cities so you can't get out.
Yes. That's a, in fact, we need to have a show on the on this whole logistics issue that's going on, and choosing where we're going to live is very timely. I do want to get to Dr. Salam, and I know callers, you've been on a long time, but we've got callers that have been sitting on here, some a half hour, some 40 minutes. But if we don't get to everybody, we'll start with you next week because we still got some clips from that debate on foreign policy. That you couldn't write a script better than that reality. But Dr. Salam is on the line, one of our favorite callers. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salam.
Wa alaikum salam, dear family, Dr. Ridgely and Sister LaDonna. My comment is more in reference to the sister that called that had some concerns.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, at a certain point, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he said, "Brother, at a certain point, you will get all of our people." And he's speaking in the spirit and by the guidance of the messenger. So to the sister, Muhammad is still speaking. But the problem is, Dr. Ridgely and Dr. Ava, as the Caucasian rejects black leadership from a black president, black people also rejects the reality of a black Jesus Messiah.
Mm.
That is a problem. So there's a fear of being free. And the real question in a lot of their minds, dear brother and dear sister, is not really about Muhammad speaks or the final call. You know, as Noah was given a command to build a boat, and they laughed at him because it hadn't rained there in hundreds of years. But when the rain came, they called on him. So we're at the same point with our brother.
That's right.
A time for separation. But the real fear is not really of the message, because it is consistent if you're listening to it. The messenger is in the brother speaking. These are not his words. We have
That's right.
So the problem is, the real question is, how can I make it without the white man? That's the problem.
There it is. There it
that
is.
That is the problem. Thank you so very much.
Yes,
beautiful insight.
I just want to add this on November 14th. Some of those people who are going to answer that question are going to meet us down at the farm for a continuation of the discussion we started in Louisiana to talk about how we are going to make it. Saturday, November 17th, how we are going to make it without the white man.
Well, you know, listening to Dr. Salam, and then what Councilman Bones Addison is dealing with in Baton Rouge with the apologetic, subservient posture of our own people, the children of Israel in the Old Testament, you know, it's not that they did not the accuracy of what Dr. Salam is saying is incredible, because it's not that the children of Israel did not want to leave. They did want to leave. It is not that they had a problem with Moses and Aaron and their message. What was holding them back was their belief that there was no greater power than Pharaoh.
That's right. That's right.
It's what he said exactly. You know,
that's right.
That it's not a rejection of the minister. It's not a rejection of the message. It is a fear of going away from one who we have taken as a god besides
right.
Allah. And that is why at a certain point God himself begins to demonstrate the flaws in the one we are taking as a god. And so we're seeing and feeling the disintegration of the U.S. economy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So we're gonna do one more call. We've got Sister Brenda, and she's got a comment. Sister Brenda,
assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Welcome to Elevated Places.
I'm so glad you got to meet Sister Ava, because I
yes,
Brother Salam. That comment was so true, because I wanted to add to that, which is the sister. complaints about the minister, none of us is perfect in our impatience. I even find myself going impatient.
Oh, yeah.
But I would like to say, I think that comes from the fact that, you know, our situation, our community, you know, the things we're suffering in our community, it makes us grow impatient. And not that we're growing impatient with minister, we're just wondering what is the next step. At least that's what I gather. And I'm so glad that he made that comment. It kind of humbled me in a sense on that. I appreciate Dr. Salam making that comment because it brought me to the light of we all need to have some patience because we're not perfect. And I know I don't know what's the next move. And God put Vice Jarrett in the place of the man that leads us. So that's what I want to say.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. We all need that. We all need that. We're down to 4 minutes. We've got Dr. Issa is on the line. Let's see if I can get the mic open. Welcome to Elevated Places. All right. Let's see. Oh, we lost that call, but we are down for the count, and I want to say to the remaining callers, please call back early next Thursday, because we're going to continue this discussion. We did not touch upon the presidential debates, and those are important. Those are relevant. And it's very important for us to look at what Allah is showing us, because
right.
This campaign and this election, as Barack Obama has said himself, it's not about people or individuals. It's about ideology. It's about philosophy. It's about belief systems. And this country, I don't think, has been more polarized than it is now since the Civil War of the 1860s. That's how polarized on a racial basis this country is. So it's very important that we stay attuned, and we're grateful to Minister Farrakhan for keeping us enlightened, because he always comes from that aerial view. We tend to look at things on a ground level, but he's able to see it like from a satellite view, so he can give us that full picture that we tend to miss, and we're very grateful for that. So I want to really express my thanks to student minister Kenya Muhammad, who was on earlier. She's a student at MUI and a blossoming minister in the Nation of Islam. I want to thank Councilman Bones Adderson out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for his strength, his courage, his ability to communicate and stand up in an hour when we are in great need of that quality of black leadership. And of course,